Wake Up All in Tangles. Written by La Dissonance. Read by SBL. Fandom, The Untamed. Relationship, Lan Chen, Lan Wenji, Wei Ying, Wei Wuqian. Not rated, with sexual content. Wei Wuqian wants to say she's never been this drunk before, but that's a lie. She's been way drunker than this plenty of times. Blackout drunk in college at a party she won't remember the next morning. Sloppy muddling wine drunk with Jiang Teng in the pristine apartment she shares with Xu Chong. Another example isn't coming to her. But the point is, she's been way more drunk than this. Hell, even the time the uncle in her building had made some kind of fruit wine in his bathtub and shared it with anyone brave enough to take a bottle, and Wei Wuxian took two. She shared it and she still got plastered. No, right now, Wei Wuxian is only medium drunk. The level of drunk where you're better off categorizing the specific kind of drunkenness you're experiencing, because how drunk isn't going to tell you anything interesting. Right now, Wei Wuxian is cast party drunk, open bar drunk. It's bubbly and effervescent inside her, makes her want to celebrate with a forcefulness that regular sitting around someone's living room parties don't provoke. She wants to ignore gravity like a kid in a bounce house, crash into people, and laugh as they crash into her. The hallway between the elevator and their offices has never felt this long. Wei Wuxian crashes into Lan Chen, softly, and laughs. Lan Chen buckles under Wei Wuxian's weight and catches herself against the wall, sliding along it for a few steps. Wei Wuxian loops her arm around Lan Chen's waist and pulls her back upright. She's so cute when she gets drunk. If Wei Wuxian pulled that move on a sober Lan Chen, she'd be so serious. Her face stern as she told Wei Wuxian off for roughhousing in the office. As if Wei Wuxian is the only one here who roughhouses, or even the worst culprit. But like this, she just takes Wei Wuxian's weight and slides along the wall, like it's her duty to hold both of them up. Once Lan Chen has been put back up on her feet, Wei Wuxian could remove her arm from around Lan Chen's waist, but she chooses not to. Maybe she's not simply cast party drunk right now, but 50th anniversary cast party drunk. A special kind of drunkenness you can only experience twice in a century. That would explain why she feels so... Lan Chen stops abruptly at the door to her office, and Wei Wuxian trips, losing her train of thought. A little warning! Wei Wuxian yelps, catching herself on the doorframe.
Sorry,
says Lan Chen, very serious. She opens the door and goes in, pulling Wei Wuxian along with her because her arm is still around Lan Chen's waist. Right. The coat. The coat that Lan Chen left in her office. The reason why they came from the party to the silent, half-lit floor where the writer's office is, instead of taking the elevator all the way down to the street and then walking to the train where they'd have to part ways. There's no real reason for Wei Wuxian to accompany Lan Chen to pick up her coat, except she hadn't wanted to part ways quite yet. Plus, Lan Chen is just so drunk right now. So drunk. Wei Wuxian may not be as drunk as she's ever been, but it's highly possible that Lan Chen is. Drunk people need looking after, and Wei Wuxian can't think of a single better thing to do with her time than look after a drunk Lan Chen. Well, that doesn't seem right, does it? It's certainly better than walking to the train alone. That must be what she had meant to think. She catalogs this under the list of symptoms specific to 15th anniversary cast party drunk. So drunk, you can't even think the thoughts you meant to think. At some point, Lan Chen had slipped Wei Wuxian's loose hole and is now bumping into things as she rummages around for her coat. It's not a large office, and Wei Wuxian can clearly see the coat, hanging on its coat tree in the back corner, right where Lan Chen always meticulously hangs it. Wei Wuxian doesn't point it out, though, because right now, the back of Lan Chen's spinning office chair seems to be giving her some trouble, and it's the most hilarious thing Wei Wuxian has ever seen. Laughing makes her sway a little on her feet, and she grabs at the doorframe for support. On top of being drunk, she's also so tired, she realizes abruptly. Lying down would be so nice right now. Wearily, she's not sleepy. She still very much does want to crash into people and celebrate until all the raucous energy inside her fills the room, but like, lying down, maybe. Her legs have pulled a long shift today. They deserve a little break. Fast on the heels of this realization comes a jaw-cracking yawn, and when she blinks her eyes open again, Lenten is standing in front of her with her coat draped over her shoulders. Maybe she had trouble finding the arms of the coat and gave up, and damn, we wish and would have loved to have seen that.
Wei Ying,
Lenten says, pelting a little. She must want to go through the door, which Wei Wuxian is standing in right now. Even though that was the plan all along, something in Wei Wuxian rebels at going along with it. Getting out of Lenten's way will just bring them one step closer to the train and the platform where they have to part ways. I'm tired. I don't want to leave, Wei Wuxian says. She warms past Lenten and flops down on the velvet upholstered couch, which is so soft and so inviting right now. She rubs her cheek against the upholstery and then, blatantly, thinks about all the people who have had their asses on this couch and turns over to face the ceiling. Then she thinks better of that and turns over to face Lenten. Lenten, don't you want to just sleep here instead of going all the way home? Never mind that home for Lenten is significantly closer than for Wei Wuxian, she's also significantly more drunk. Aren't you tired? I bet we can both fit if we squish.
If we squish,
Lenten says in the very slow, deliberate way of drunk people trying to do some heavy thinking. No one else would think so, because Lenten is very fancy business butch here and takes her job very seriously. But she's so cute. Wei Wuxian doesn't know how she could have possibly lucked out so much in the co-worker department. Wei Wuxian makes grabby hands, which result in Lenten shuffling a couple steps closer to the couch. Yeah, we can just... She squeezes herself into the back of the couch, sucking in her stomach for good measure, and pats the wide empty space this has left. Look, plenty of room. Come here and keep me warm. Lenten frowns down at the lapels of her coat, patting them in some confusion.
But you already got your coat?
Wei Wuxian guesses. She flaps her hand dismissively. That doesn't mean you can't sleep on the couch with me, Lenten. We can just use it as a blanket. This finally seems to do the trick, and Lenten lowers herself down onto the couch right on top of Wei Wuxian, who squeaks in surprise. Lenten!
Keeping you warm,
Lenten says into her hair.
Like you asked.
Wei Wuxian is drunk. She can't be held accountable for everything she asks for right now. It's on the tip of her tongue to explain this to Lenten, but she is actually much warmer already, with her human blanket on top of her, and Lenten's expensive peacoat blanket on top of that. Objectively, it should be uncomfortable. Lenten's chin is digging into the side of her head, and her elbows are very present because she just bundled her arms up between them when she lay down. But it's profoundly nice in a way Wei Wuxian couldn't begin to explain if asked. There is an easy joke to be made about groping in there. Something, something, Lenten's hand so near Wei Wuxian's boobs. She must be trying to cup a feel, but Wei Wuxian is too drunk and warm to formulate it. She opens her mouth to explain the half-joke to Lenten, because workshopping a joke with Lenten always leads to far funnier results than trying to write on her own. They can do something with elbow groping, she's sure. Right now, it's just half a step to the side of absolutely hilarious. But when Wei Wuxian pushes Lenten up to see her face, Her words dry up. Lantan looks. She looks. Her mouth is open and her eyes are dark. And if Wei Wuxian isn't mistaken, this is what Lantan looks like when she's very horny. Lantan, who knew you were like this? Wei Wuxian says, and Lantan licks her lips. Dark gaze laser focused on Wei Wuxian's face, like some kind of dirty promise.
Like what?
Lantan says slowly, grinding down on the thigh Wei Wuxian must have helpfully slotted between her legs as soon as she realized Lantan was horny, like any good friend would do. She doesn't remember doing it, but yeah, that makes sense. So horny, Wei Wuxian marvels. It's really amazing to have known Lantan for so long and not know she had this side to her. Is she always horny and drinking just brings it out? Or is this a special once-in-a-blue-moon occurrence that Wei Wuxian is lucky enough to bear witness to?
Be quiet,
Lantan says, staring down at Wei Wuxian like she wants to devour her. Wei Wuxian reaches for a response, but for once, there's absolutely nothing in her verbal buffer, and she ends up just staring up at Lantan silently. Just like she'd asked. It seems to do something to Lantan, because she leans down over Wei Wuxian carefully, one elbow still digging into her chest. They should do something about that soon. And she's staring at Wei Wuxian's mouth, and oh no, those are Lantan's lips dragging against hers, a soft, warm slide before she kisses Wei Wuxian carefully, wetly, teasing her mouth open and pushing inside. Full and plush. Then she draws back and presses her thumb into Wei Wuxian's lower lip, and Wei Wuxian's whole brain glitches out. We're making out now? She squeaks. That's what we're doing? Fuck, Lantan, you have the best ideas. Lantan's face does something devastating, and then she's on Wei Wuxian like a tidal wave, her mouth strong and insistent. Hot and a little piney from her fancy gin and tonics. Lan Wangji kisses down the side of Wing's neck, one hand down the back of Wing's leggings, and the other pushing aside her terrible tuxedo t-shirt when it gets in the way. Wing squirms, saying something irrelevant about stretching out the material. All Lan Wangji cares about is getting her mouth on as much skin as she can reach. Nothing else matters.
Wait,
Wing says, and then she's inexcusably pushing Lan Wangji away, doing something with her arms that makes her impossible to reach, and oh. Now her shirt and bra are gone, and she's pulling Lan Wangji down on top of her. Cooing in delight when Lan Wangji immediately nuzzles each of her tiny breasts. Lantan refuses to get her tits out in her office, but Wing whipped hers out so easily that maybe she wasn't even wearing a bra to begin with.
The thought makes Lan Wangji even hornier than she already is, and she grinds down on Wing's thigh even harder, chasing the harsh press of the seam of her jeans against her clit.
This hadn't been her plan when she'd put one of her stiffest pairs of jeans on today, but it's working out very well for her. Jeans manufacturers really knew what they were doing when they put a seam in the crotch, she thinks dizzily. Otherwise, she might actually die from how much everything about Wing is setting her on fire. She feels absolutely unhinged with it.
You're so hot.
She says into Wing's skin, instead of the,
I love you,
she wants to leave there. It's basically the same thing. Wing is so hot, and so Lan Wangji loves her. She doesn't seem to have a choice in the matter. Probably anyone who realized how hot Wei Ying was would fall in love with her.
Although that would be horrible. No one else should be allowed to fall in love with Wei Ying or make out with her on the couch or think about whether she wears a bra or not. Maybe an undershirt. Lanchen is sure she would have noticed Wei-Ying's nipples if she had been completely bare under her t-shirt.
They're so hard and big. They'd have to show through even 2-3 layers of clothes.
What are you thinking about down there?
Wei-Ying asks, tipping Lan Wenji up by the forehead.
Your nipples,
Lan Wenji says, and Wei-Ying lets out a scandalized shriek.
Someone will hear you,
Lan Wenji warns. She doesn't want anyone to hear them, because then they'd interrupt, and then she'd have to stop making out with Wei-Ying. Now that she's started, she doesn't ever want to stop. She might not even stop if someone interrupted them, but then they would see her making out with Wei-Ying, which feels like some kind of crime. This should be just for them.
Lan-chan!
Wei-Ying whines, and Lan Wenji realizes she's spaced out, staring at Wei-Ying's chest. She lets herself be manhandled back on task, and between them, they manage to shed several more layers of clothes and get to the point where Lan Wenji has her hand inside Wei-Ying's boxer briefs, teasing her as she sucks a hickey into her ribs.
I wish she had a strap on here, Wei-Ying sighs. Or even just like a regular dildo, you know, the non-attached kind.
She pauses, as if considering the likelihood of this.
Hang on, do you?
No, I don't have a dildo in my office,
Lan Wenji says. Wei-Ying pouts.
I do have several at home, however, and a harness.
Lan Wenji thinks she does a good job disguising how much drunker she suddenly feels at the idea of spreading Wei-Ying's legs right here on her office couch and fucking into her with a strap-on she kept in her office just for fucking Wei-Ying.
It will have to be. Why else would she have one here? Spreading her legs and fucking into her, hard and big, stretching her out, making her beg for mercy.
We're not there right now, Lan-chan,
Wei-Ying says, oblivious to the way Lan Wenji's fantasies are running away with her.
You just have to finger bang me extra good, okay?
Yes,
Lan Wenji promises, with as much force as she can put behind the word. She peels off Wei-Ying's soggy underwear and makes good on her promise, two fingers driving into Wei-Ying at once. Wei-Ying goes all loose and pliant in satisfaction.
Oh, that's good. You have such strong fingers.
Wei-Ying's eyes flutter shut, and she tilts her head back off the edge of the couch, smiling blissfully. Lan-chan realizes that she's going to tug right through the whole thing, which is definitely more than Lan-chan can handle right now. She's only going to finger-fuck Wei-Ying for the first time once, and this is it. She's not nearly sober enough to remember it in as much detail as it deserves to be remembered. Wei-Ying always acts like she's high maintenance, but really, she's easy. It doesn't even take three fingers to feel her up or any searching to find the spots inside that light her up. Lan Wenji fucks her steadily in a rhythm she could keep up all night, and Wei-Ying squirms and comes on Lan Wenji's fingers like a dream. Lan Wenji fucks her through another orgasm and then goes down on her, drawing out a third while Wei-Ying clenches her sweaty thighs around Lan Wenji's ears and arches her back, swearing. After that, Wei-Ying insists on eating Lan Wenji out in her office chair. She tries to do it from under the desk, but after hitting her head twice in a row, Lan Wenji insists on compromising and pulling the chair back a bit. The whole thing has all the marks of some fantasy Wei-Ying's been holding close to her chest, and Lan Wenji feels so honored to be brought into it, to be allowed into this. She's having sex with Wei-Ying. The knowledge that Wei-Ying is horny for office sex feels like such a gift, something she never thought she'd be lucky enough to have, just like the rest of it. Lan Wenji pets Wei-Ying's choppy hair and then pulls, when Wei-Ying leans back long enough to request it. Wei-Ying is good at this, and she drinks up the praise when Lan Wenji tells her so. There's no one Lan Wenji has ever loved more.
She never even knew she could love this much, all filled up to the brim with it.
They go back to the couch afterward, pulling their clothes back on over their sticky bodies against the late night chill of the office, and Lan-Wen-Ji sleeps off to sleep in no time. She tucks her nose into the crook of Wing's neck and holds onto her, happy.
It's still dark when Wei Wuxian wakes up, half warm and half freezing, squished under the solid weight of... lantern? She cracks open her eyes and verifies that it is, indeed, lantern. Because they had sex last night. Or maybe it still is last night. Anyway, that's not the important part. The important part is they had sex, and as hard as she shuffles through her drunken memories of last night, Wei Wuxian can't remember how on earth it happened.
Oh, she remembers it happening very vividly, like suspiciously vividly for how drunk they were.
But the participating events don't add up.
Lan Chen was getting her coat, and then they fell in each other in a rift of passion?
Had Lan Chen been so drunk that Wei Wuxian took advantage?
But why would she do that? She doesn't think about Lan Chen that way. They're just friends, just really good friends, and borderline life partners with how much time they spend together at work.
But Wei Wuxian would never want to get in Lan Chen's pants, except for how she evidently had last night. The idea that Lan Chen might have taken advantage of her doesn't even bear considering. Wei Wuxian dismisses it out of hand. Somewhere during that mental spiral, Lan Chen wakes up too. And Wei Wuxian turns her head to find Lan Chen's soft golden gaze on her. She's never seen this exact expression on Lan Chen's face. So tender and, like, fuzzy, as if she hasn't fully pulled herself together yet.
No one should see this, Wei Wuxian thinks wildly.
If Lan Chen wants to have sharp edges and a cold facade up all the time, then no one should be allowed behind them. Wei Wuxian will shank them if they get close.
Wei Wuxian is self-aware enough to realize that that thought is really embarrassing. The kind of thing that would make her and Jiang Cheng shout, "No homo!" back and forth at each other in high school in increasingly emphatic tones, both vying to be the one to be above childish admission of feelings.
With the size of Jiang Cheng's crush on Wen Qiang, Wei Wuxian always won those matches. She has a feeling she might not win a similar one now, and the thought is terrifying.
Wei-ying,
Lan Chen says in that throaty early morning voice that Wei Wuxian has maybe, possibly, heard so rarely that she's kept count of every instance where she's been lucky enough to be graced with it. Even with the hours they keep, it doesn't happen much. Lan Chen is freakishly good at being awake on 2 hours of sleep. It's ridiculous that she's getting to hear this now. It's ridiculous that they had sex. How is this real? Wei Wuxian says. Whatever words were going to follow are cut off by Lan Chen stroking her face, palm pausing warm and rough on her cheekbone. Her heart stops beating in her chest.
I love you so much,
Lan Chen says, still in her devastating early morning growl, and Wei Wuxian's brain whites out entirely. Lan Chen is leaning in to kiss her, and Wei Wuxian is somehow here, living through it, because her body is refusing to evaporate into its component molecules. They're kissing, and Lan Chen's thigh is pressing between Wei Wuxian's legs, and oh fuck, they're going to have sex again, and Wei Wuxian is going to die because her heart still isn't beating.
Oh fuck, she says faintly.
Lan Chen doesn't seem to mind this as a response to her fucking love confession of all things.
Let me take you home,
she says. And what is Wei Wuxian supposed to do? She is a dead woman walking anyway. She lets Lan Wenji drag her through the hall and fold her into a cab.
A cab! Oh, if only they'd thought of that last night. Maybe none of this would.
Conveniently, Wei Wuxian's ability to form thoughts deserts her at that moment. Pull her up the stairs of her building and tuck her into bed.
Lan Chen's bed! Her
bed. Wei Wuxian had slept over at her apartment before, but always on the couch. This, of all things, manages to drive home the fact she's still alive and experiencing real events that are really happening in the world. This is a fact that Wei Wuxian has no idea how to handle, so she just puts it into a disused corner of her mind, very gently, so as not to disturb it.
Are we going to have sex again?
Wei Wuxian asks.
Lan Chen isn't in the bed yet, and Wei Wuxian feels that this is very rude.
If you're going to drag a girl home with you and shove her into your bed, you might at least give her some orgasms for her trouble.
In the morning,
Lan Chen says, crawling in next to her.
Wei Wuxian snuggles up to her immediately, burying her face in Lan Chen's shoulder and hooking her knee over Lan Chen's leg. She wants to point out that it technically is the morning by some definitions. The sky is turning that muddy, half-light color it does before the sun comes up, and there was a garbage truck going down the block when the cab led them out in front of Lan Chen's building.
You said you had your strap on at home,
Wei Wuxian says instead.
She doesn't feel as drunk anymore. But if they're acting like alternate universe versions of themselves who hook up at the office, she might as well keep saying anything and everything that comes to mind anyway.
Are you going to fuck me with it?
No.
Lan Chen says. She closes her eyes as if she really intends to take Wei Wuxian home and just sleep. Wei Wuxian climbs on top of her, draping her body over Lan Chen like a weighted blanket. It's uncomfortable with her boobs pressing directly into each other, so she scooches down until she can bury her face in Lan Chen's cleavage. No one would look at Lan Chen and be like, "Oh yes, this is a woman with a fantastic rack," because Lan Chen wears sports bras that give her a rugged, taut, armored appearance under her clothes, but she actually has big, soft, gorgeous tits under there, just right for squeezing together and pillowing one's face in. Lan Chen's hands lace through Wei Wuxian's on the sides of her boobs, but she doesn't make Wei Wuxian stop pressing them together, so that's nice.
Why not now?
Wei Wuxian asks, muffled. Lan Chen gives Wei Wuxian's hands a warning sort of squeeze.
Wei, tomorrow is Sunday. We have plenty of time to have sex then. We'll have more energy if we're well rested.
Wei Wuxian rests her chin on Lan Chen's sternum and pouts. Then she yelps when Lan Chen captures her protruding lower lip between her teeth, tugging very gently. Even though she's currently on her bed, on top of her, it hadn't occurred to Wei Wuxian that Lan Chen could do that. That it's apparently allowed now.
But hurt, Wei Wuxian says, even though it didn't, really. It was just a surprise.
Kiss it better?
Lan Chen does, and her mouth is so soft that Wei Wuxian gets lost in it for a while. They make out lazily while the room slowly grows lighter, and Wei Wuxian doesn't realize until Lan Chen presses a kiss to her forehead and folds her hands over Wei Wuxian's back that she's already mostly drifted off to sleep. Sunday passes exactly as Lan Wenji had promised, to her delight. She and Wei Ying have sex, a lot of it, making use of Lan Wenji's harness and dildo collection and the benefits of semi-decent night's sleep. Lan Wenji calls her sister while Wei Wuxian is still sleeping and cancels on tennis for the first time since they started playing again, with the excuse that Wei Wuxian had stayed over. She thinks Lan Xichen knows exactly what that means. Wei Ying is a joy in Lan Wenji's bed and in her apartment and in her life, an unmitigated joy all around. And Lan Wenji has to stop herself from proposing marriage 4 separate times on Sunday alone. This is all new to Wei Ying, she reminds herself. Wei Ying is clearly enthusiastic about the new physical dimension to their relationship, but hasn't said anything about her feelings. She deserves a chance to get acclimated to this change between them before Lan Wenji springs even more on her. Wei Ying sleeps over again on Sunday night,
giggling as she borrows pajamas and brushes her teeth with Lawenji's spare toothbrush, and then on Monday morning, they go into the office together. They meet up on the walk-in so often that this doesn't draw comment, and for a few hours, Lawenji thinks she might just get to keep this slice of her life private for a little longer. The work is absorbing, and she doesn't surface until well after lunchtime, when she goes to the kitchen for a snack and hears Wei-ying saying to someone in the hallway, "And I haven't been home once since Friday night. How much longer until I get to claim tenancy? Lawenji's apartment is so much nicer than mine, and she knows how to treat a girl right. Did I tell you about the way?" The voices fade down the hallway, and Lawenji forces herself to release her death grip on the handle of the butter knife she's holding. It's Wing's prerogative to talk about her own sex life with her friends. It was inevitable that this development wouldn't stay secret forever. The joke about doing it for squatter's right to Luncheon's apartment smarts even more, but Luncheon knows it's just a joke. Even if Wing hasn't said the words yet, the way she held Luncheon in her sleep, the way she sucked the tip of her baby blue cock into her mouth, the way she'd kept bumping into Lawenji and sneaking glances at her in the mirror as they shared the bathroom, those were real. They make jokes for a living. This is more than that. Tuesday passes in its typical Tuesday blur, and it's late Wednesday night before Lawenji notices that neither she nor Wei-ying have left the office for longer than it takes to get food or Red Bull for a good 48 hours now. It's high time to go collect some new spare office clothes and sleep on a surface that isn't her work couch, but Lawenji hesitates as she closes her door behind her. On a hunch, she sticks her head into Wei-ying's office and sees her sitting at her desk, hunched so far down in her chair that only a sliver of her forehead is visible above her laptop screen.
"Are you going to sleep here again?"
They don't have so much work they need to work through another night, but it's late already and Wing's place is further away than Lawenji's. Maybe she had planned on just coasting through to Thursday. Wing lowers her laptop lid instead of sitting up any straighter and blinks at Lawenji blearily. Lawenji loves her so much. She doesn't want to leave her here. She wants to take her home and keep her there, have her within arm's reach at all times, never not know where Wei-ying is. But this is new to Wei-ying. She might not want... Lawenji shouldn't scare her away by moving too fast. There's a lesbian U-Haul joke in there somewhere, but it won't really play this week. Lawenji files it away in the back of her mind for the next time they get a queer host.
"Are you going home?"
Wei-ying says after Lawenji has just stood there for a while without talking. Lawenji nods.
"Come with me,"
she stops herself from saying, just like she stops herself from dragging Wei-ying up onto her desk and kissing her breathless, right on top of her laptop.
Well, I should too,"
Wei-ying mumbles. Lawenji waits while she bumbles around her office, stuffing things into her bag, and then she steps up to Lawenji's shoulder, and Lawenji has to kiss her. There's just no option not to. They make out against the side of the doorway for a while, and then they separate and make it to the elevators before gravity pulls them together again. Wing's mouth is so warm and pliant, and Lawenji is, by some miracle, allowed to put her mouth on it. She never wants to stop. The elevator doors open and then close again once they get to the lobby, and eventually, Lawenji punches the button to open them and they stagger out into the lobby, more wrapped up around each other than is practical for walking. By mutual unspoken agreement, they don't separate when they get to the subway. Wing follows Lawenji to her platform, and Lawenji keeps her arm wrapped around Wing's waist, so she doesn't get any other ideas.
"You can do laundry here,"
Lawenji says once they get to her apartment. Wei has even fewer work clothes than Lawenji does, and her outfits have leaned heavily on reused items for her 50th anniversary party outfit this week. It's all getting more than a little ripe.
Okay,
Wayne says, looking at Lawenji with dark circles under her smiling eyes. Lawenji feels her heart grow two sizes. They make out until sleep takes them, pressed together in the center of Lawenji's bed, and they fuck in the morning. Nothing fancy. Lawenji refuses to get out the toys when she has to leave for work in an hour, no matter how much Weying whines. And Lawenji thinks, if life could be just like this forever, she would die happy. It's been 4 to 5 days since Wei Wuxian has gone home, depending on how you count, and she's afraid that if she goes back to her apartment, the spell will break. Clearly she has, against all odds, stepped sideways into a parallel universe where she and Lan Chen are, okay, maybe not girlfriends, but definitely fucking. And it feels like she has to tread very lightly in this universe, lest it kick her out. Pursuant to this goal, she spends most of the day working in Lan Chen's office, so that the second Lan Chen decides to leave, Wei Wuxian can conveniently tag along. This turns out to be a tactical error, because Lan Chen looks up halfway through the day and says,
"You've been coughing a lot. Are you feeling okay?"
Honestly, Wei Wuxian hadn't noticed, but if Lan Chen said she'd been coughing, it's probably true.
"I'm fine! Probably just got watered down the wrong pipe, you know."
Lan Chen's eyes narrow.
"You were coughing last night, too."
The pit of Wei Wuxian's stomach goes cold. Is this it? Does Lan Chen not want her anymore because she coughs too much? "Oh, shit. Did I keep you up?" she manages to say, in a somewhat pinched voice.
Lan Chen frowns. "What? No, that's not important. I was just concerned. You tell me if you felt sick, yes?"
"Oh," Wei Wuxian says. Her stomach does some kind of swoopy thing while her brain reminds her, "Lan Chen said she was in love with you." Wei Wuxian keeps waiting for it to be a prank, but the punchline keeps not coming.
"I'm fine, really. Do you have any cough drops?"
Lan Chen opens a desk drawer and hands Wei Wuxian a nearly full bag of cough drops. She doesn't comment on Wei Wuxian's health for the rest of the day, even when Wei Wuxian's brain gets so foggy she has to take a nap mid-scene and let Lan Chen finish the script on her own. By the time they're headed home, Wei Wuxian tagging along behind Lan Chen like she can't just invite herself over for the 6th night in a row if neither of them talk about it, she's feeling distinctly worse. Her throat, which was just kind of scratchy yesterday and this morning, has settled into a dull, hollow ache, and her limbs feel heavy. If she could go home, she could dig into her stash of half-expired cold medicines and pretend none of the symptoms existed for 6 hours at a time until they went away on their own, but she's avoiding going home right now, so she'll just have to tough it out the old-fashioned way. Pure denial. When they get back to Lan Chen's apartment, Wei Wuxian inwardly rejoicing at having successfully pulled off the con again. Lan Chen heads into the kitchen and ties on an apron. It's super cute, illegally cute, for tall, butch Lan Chen to be wearing an apron with ruffles on it, and Wei Wuxian resolves to tell her as soon as her head stops spinning quite so much. She lies down on the couch and must actually fall asleep for a few minutes because she wakes up to Lan Chen propping her up against a stack of pillows. Wei Wuxian says. Lan Chen holds a bowl of steaming soup in front of her and offers a spoonful to Wei Wuxian.
"Not hungry," Wei Wuxian mumbles.
"You haven't eaten all day,"
Lan Chen says, sounding a little severe. She raises the spoon, expectant. Wei Wuxian tries to take it, but Lan Chen just clicks her tongue and brings the spoon right up to Wei Wuxian's mouth, bumping it against her lower lip until she sips the broth on instinct.
"Is that how it is?"
she asks after she swallows.
"Do you have a spoon-feeding king, Lan Chen? Ooh, am I your little baby?"
She bats her eyelashes and puffs out her cheeks, but Luncheon just tots again and feeds her another spoonful of soup.
It's to help you get better,
Luncheon says softly.
When we were sick, our mother used to make this for us.
Wei Wuxian doesn't know what to say to that. Luncheon never talks about her mother. So she just watches as Luncheon lifts a spoonful of broth, blows in it gently, and holds it to Wei Wuxian's mouth. It's meditative in a weird way, or maybe that's just Wei Wuxian's head starting to spin again. She falls asleep before the bowl of soup is done, and only wakes again, partially and very briefly, when Luncheon folds a puffy duvet over her. The light clicks off, and then Wei Wuxian slips back into sleep, the taste of Luncheon's soup in her mouth, and the scent of Luncheon all around her.
I've left clothes out for you on the bed if you want to shower. Feel free to order more food if you want, and call me if you feel worse.
Wei Wuxian makes a confused noise, and Luncheon kisses her on the forehead? Surely it's still the middle of the night. What is Luncheon talking about soup and kissing her on the forehead for? The front door clicks shut, and Wei Wuxian lets herself fall back into sleep again. An unknown number of hours later, Wei Wuxian sits up with a jolt, certain she's missed work. Her head throbs at the sudden motion. It takes her a few seconds to place where she is and what day it is. Her phone is sitting on the coffee table next to a water bottle and a bottle of Tylenol plugged into a charger that Wei Wuxian doesn't remember reaching for. She rubs her hand over her face and checks the time, only to feel another jolt of panic go through her when she realizes how many hours past when she usually gets to work it is. She's swinging her legs off the couch, racing to get up and make her way to the bathroom when she sees the text from Luncheon at the top of her screen. She reads them in reverse order, starting from the most recent.
Sichuei, in particular, sends her best wishes and says she'll take the manhole sketch if you're still out tomorrow. Everyone hopes you feel better soon. Don't worry about coming in today. I told Aunt you were feeling ill. Good morning, Wei Ying. There is more soup in the fridge, in the round container with a yellow lid. 1 minute, 45 seconds in the microwave should heat one of the medium bowls.
Wei Ying rolls her eyes. As if she doesn't know how to use a microwave. Sure, the one in her apartment is somehow permanently stuck on its lowest power setting, and before that she couldn't even afford one, but she knows how to use one. She uses the one in the office kitchen multiple times a day. She burns herself less than half of the time. She almost stops reading then, but her eyes catch on the last line of Luncheon's first text, and her heart skips.
Feel better soon, love.
Love. The word plays in her head in Luncheon's voice. Wayne takes a screenshot of the text in case Luncheon thinks better of her word choice and recalls text, and then emails it to herself in case she drops her phone on the sidewalk and loses the screenshot. Just so she'll have a record that this happened for the future after this odd fever dream is over. Wayne definitely has a fever. Her joints feel all achy, and she's covered in sweat, quickly cooling her now that she's shrugged off the duvet. Maybe she's had a fever this whole time, which would explain, well, she's not sure what could really explain the past few days, but a fever is a good start. Even though Luncheon already called out for her, Wei Wuxian takes a shower and gets dressed, fully intending to stop by the Duane Reed on the way to the train and stash up on more cold meds before making an appearance at work. But then she sits down on Luncheon's bed to put her socks on, and somehow she ends up napping for an hour. When she wakes up, she feels shaky in a way she guesses is hunger, so she reheats some soup. And after she's done eating it, she's tired again. So she finds a nature show on Luncheon's TV and watches it until she falls asleep on the couch. Whenever she's awake, and also half the time when she's asleep, she's been coughing,
and her throat and chest hurt, and she's bored of coughing but keeps doing it anyway.
Being sick sucks.
She drinks the water in the water bottle between naps so Luncheon won't yell at her about hydration when she gets home. It's not work, but it's at least some form of productivity. It feels very early for Luncheon to be getting home when Wei Wuxian hears the front door open, and in her physically and psychologically weakened state, Wei Wuxian wonders if Luncheon came home early just to see her. That would be nice, she thinks. Embarrassing, but good.
Luncheon!
Wei Wuxian calls, and Luncheon comes over and smiles in greeting. Wei Wuxian feels giddy. A whole smile just for her.
Look, I drank all the water,
she says proudly. A line forms between Luncheon's eyebrows.
Is that all you drank?
Some soup too,
Wei Ying pouts.
You're supposed to be proud of me for drinking water.
Luncheon presses the back of her hand to Wei Wuxian's forehead and hums.
I'll make you some tea.
They drink the tea while Wei Wuxian pesters Luncheon to tell her what she missed at work, and Luncheon doesn't once ask Wei Wuxian how she's feeling, which seems extremely suspicious. Luncheon orders some food, and they eat it on the couch while another nature show plays in the background. Around Luncheon, Wei Wuxian feels more normal than she has all day. It's possible that this is because she's been asleep for most of it, and now she actually has a tiny bit of energy, but also she just feels good around Luncheon. Like Luncheon gives off rays of goodness and Wei Wuxian is a plant under a grow light, soaking them up. If she had her way, she'd never leave Luncheon's side again. She'd write Luncheon's drunken declaration into the sunset, let her roommates divvy up her belongings, let her lease run out. Luncheon wouldn't dare kick Wei Wuxian out into the street, would she? The plan is foolproof. Luncheon lets Wei Wuxian sleep with her that night.
I wasn't exiling you, Wei Ying. You fell asleep on the couch and your breathing sounded good, so I didn't want to move you.
Wei Wuxian presses her mouth into a flat line. She doesn't want to ask anything about that, especially the breathing part, lest she not be allowed to go to work tomorrow either. But she won't have sex with Wei Wuxian no matter how hard Wei Wuxian seduces her.
It makes sense.
Wei Wuxian is pretty gross right now. She wouldn't want to have sex with her either. Luncheon does kiss her on the forehead and settle her on a nest of pillows so high Wei Wuxian is basically sitting up. She hadn't known Luncheon even had this many pillows. In the morning, Wei Wuxian still feels gross, but she doesn't say anything about it, which appears to work. Luncheon lets Wei Wuxian get ready with her and leave the building before announcing that they're going to the urgent care instead of work.
So they can say I'm fine, you can stop banning me from pursuing my livelihood, right, Luncheon?
Is the only response Wei Wuxian gets. The urgent care guy diagnoses Wei Wuxian with acute bronchitis and gives her some of the good cough syrup and an inhaler. He asks her what else she's been taking and seems to approve of her Tylenol schedule.
This means I can go to work, right?
She asks hopefully.
If you want to get pneumonia and end up in the hospital,
he says, and then writes a note excusing Wei Wuxian from work for 4 days while she tilts her head, considering.
The urgent care guy can't know for sure that she'll get pneumonia and end up in the hospital. He didn't even ask her what her work was. And the two aren't inextricably linked. Maybe she could just get pneumonia a little bit without going to the hospital and it would be fine.
Luncheon pays the person at the counter while Wei Wuxian is pacing out on this topic and then drags her back to the apartment.
Luncheon, you don't have to keep babysitting me. I can go home,
Wei Wuxian says as they round the corner to Luncheon's street. It hadn't really occurred to her yesterday because she'd been so out of it, but she's very aware by now of how much she's been imposing. You could get people on the train sick. Or your roommates.
Nanchen says, opening the door for Wei Wuxian. Wei Wuxian goes in so as not to block the door.
I could get you sick.
If I'm going to catch it, I already would have. It is no trouble.
Defeated, Wei Wuxian changes tracks.
Let me come to dress rehearsal. Just dress rehearsal. I just want to see all the sketches we were working on, wouldn't you?
You can see them on TV.
Lanchen points out, stepping into the elevator. Wei Wuxian whines and follows her.
I was so bored yesterday.
It isn't exactly true, because she wasn't bored when she was asleep, and that was most of it. But the awake parts were very boring, and Lanchen knows how much Wei Wuxian hates to be bored.
You can read any of the books on the shelves,
Lanchen offers.
What will you do without me for 4 whole days?
Wei Wuxian tries in a last-ditch attempt. She hates how walking and talking at the same time makes her breathless right now.
What will Lan Qiren say? What will everyone do?
I will give your note to Aunt and explain that this will save having you take a much longer medical leave later on. She will agree this is wiser.
When Lanchen leaves for work after bundling Wei Wuxian up in a blanket burrito on the couch with 2 water bottles and a full pot of tea within arm's reach, Wei Wuxian automatically tilts her head out to receive a forehead kiss. Immediately afterward, she burns with embarrassment, but Lanchen has already kissed her, soft and dry, and the huge hungry thing in Wei Wuxian's chest that wants all of Lanchen's forehead kisses and text endearments and all of her time always quiets down a bit, even as the embarrassment flares.
Have a good day at work,
she says, and feels embarrassed again at how domestic it is, like she's Lanchen's little housewife. The wanting in Wei Wuxian's chest latches onto that one with a vengeance, and Wei Wuxian hides her face under the blankets until Lanchen leaves. Work takes up most of Lan Wenji's attention, and she cares about her job, so she lets it. In the background, though, there's a constant awareness that Wei Ying is back home in her apartment, wrapped up in her blankets. It settles something in her, knowing exactly where Wei Ying is, that she's safe and cared for. While she's waiting in line with Su Jue and Jingling for the halal cart that has the best falafel platters, she wonders if it would be too soon to ask Wei Ying to move in. Her heart sinks at the idea, the rightness of it. Having Wei Ying in her space all the time, their lives so entwined no one could pick them apart. Wei Ying had joked about claiming tenancy. Maybe if Lan Wenji brings it up in those terms, Wei Ying will be receptive. It feels very important not to scare Wei Ying away, not to move too fast. She'd already moved too fast when she'd had sex with Wei Ying after the cast party, when she told her she loved her. None of that had been part of a plan. It had just come out, banged down under layers of caution and uncertainty, and care for Wei Ying might not feel the same. But she had felt the same. At least enough to eat Lan Wenji out in her office chair and then in her bed and once, very unhygienically, on the edge of the bathroom sink. Wei Ying seems to have a thing for being on her knees, and Lan Wenji is very into it.
Daji, your turn.
Jingling's voice cuts through Lan Wenji's thoughts, and she shakes herself out of it enough to order and move to the side. Jingling is blushing fiercely enough to show through her layers of foundation and concealer and bronzer and contouring and probably several new forms of makeup that have been invented since Lan Wenji stopped wearing it herself. And Su Jue looks like she's trying to keep herself from laughing. Once, Lan Wenji had overheard Jingling call Jiang Yanli dad. Not even a cute nickname, just flat out dad, like he was her actual father. The cute nickname feels pleasant in comparison, honestly.
Maybe one day she'll have babies with Wei-Ying and bring them to work and make Jingling and the others greet their new siblings. It makes her stomach swoop, thinking about babies with Wei-Ying. Wei would definitely carry, with her wide hips, childbearing hips, Lan-Wen-Ji's hindbrain supplies. She's built for it. And the way she talks sometimes, the way she had talked, specifically, that one time on Sunday when Lan-Wen-Ji got her up on her hands and knees.
Your foot, Jingling says, scowling as she shoves the covered container at Lan-Wen-Ji.
Lan-Wen-Ji takes it, nodding her thanks. You must be really worried about Mom Xian, Su Trey says gently.
Jingling scrunches up her face, looking unsure if she's being made fun of. Inwardly, Lan-Wen-Ji rolls her eyes. Su Trey doesn't have a mean bone in her body. It speaks to Jingling's innate distrust of humanity that she'd even think it was a possibility. Outwardly, Lan-Wen-Ji hums agreement. She's certainly very preoccupied with Wei-Ying, even if it's not worry specifically. She's already better than she was yesterday. There's no cause for real concern. Just, Lan-Wen-Ji does wish she were closer. Wishes, for the first time since she took this job she loves, that she didn't have to do it and she could be at home hand-feeding Wei-Ying's soup right this very moment. We'll get her a card, Su Trey says decisively, and steers them to the huge fancy stationery store at the other end of the plaza instead of turning back to 30 Rock. Lan-Wen-Ji lets her. A short detour won't put them too far behind schedule, and having a card to pass around will be nice for the rest of the staff. It might even keep them from asking Lan-Wen-Ji for constant updates on Wei-Ying's health, although she doubts it. Mostly, it will be nice for Wei-Ying to come back to. Lan-Wen-Ji lets Jingling and Su Trey talk each other into picking out the biggest, most ostentatious card they can find, and uses a company card to pay for it and a pack of metallic pens at the counter. It says, "On your golding anniversary," on the front, but Jingling likes the real gold foil accents, and Su Trey's eyes light up when she talks about how she can modify the inside text into a joke about Wei Wuxian being sorely missed while she was gone for half a century, so Lan-Wen-Ji doesn't object. The controlled chaos of putting on a live TV show sweeps Lan-Wen-Ji up as soon as they get back to work, and she doesn't think about Wei-Ying for long stretches of time. A tiny bit, though, under the comfort of knowing Wei-Ying is safe and warm back at home, she worries that Wei-Ying won't be there when she gets back. That this fragile spell, where she sits still and lets Lan-Wen-Ji love her, will have broken while she's away. That she'll go back home and things will go back to the way they were. Mostly, though, the fear doesn't surface into her conscious mind at all. They have a show to put on.
Being sick is very boring.
Wei Wuxian sleeps a little less today than yesterday, if only because she drinks everything Lanchen left her and has to get up to pee more often. She finishes the soup, finds some crackers and peanut butter in Lanchen's cabinets when she improbably gets hungry again, rummages through Lanchen's fancy floor-to-ceiling shelves and finds a book that puts her to sleep within 10 minutes twice in a row, and texts with anyone from the cast who will reply. Lanchen, doing the work of both of them, does not reply. It's odd being in Lanchen's space without her, now that Wei Wuxian isn't too delirious to notice it. Mostly, it's odd how not weird it feels. She wonders how far Lanchen's being in love with her could take her, and gets a little shaky inside just thinking about it. Could they move in together? Could they get married? It would almost be easier if they were married, like in the salacious gay romance where a prince and his tutor were arranged to be married due to a hidden identity and some obscure inheritance plot point that Wei Wuxian had fallen asleep before she could understand. If she and Lanchen were in an arranged marriage, though, they'd have to live together. Wei Wuxian wouldn't have to do anything to deserve all this.
Lanchen would dote on her and make her soup and fuck her because the law said they were married, and who was Lanchen to break the law? No one. Lanchen is perhaps the least law-breaking person Wei Wuxian has ever met. They'd have to stay like this forever. No choice about it. The thought makes Wei Wuxian inexplicably horny, and she falls asleep for the third time that day with her hand down her leggings because being sick is the worst. Hopefully one day soon she'll have energy again. When 11:30 rolls around, Wei Wuxian turns the TV on and watches her show. Sutray does an excellent job with a manhole sketch. Wei Wuxian laughs so hard she starts coughing and can't stop long enough to use the inhaler for an entire commercial break.
Is there anything you need from home?
Lanchen texts as soon as the show ends.
Or from your sister and brother's house?
She adds a moment later. At almost the same time, Wei Wuxian gets a message from Yanli. It's a photo of him with his arms wrapped around Jiang Cheng and Lanchen. Someone has coordinated them so all three of their hands are forming a big heart. The text reads, "Feel better soon, Asien. Let Lanchen spoil you." Wei Wuxian is pretty sure there's a typo. It should be, "Don't let Lanchen spoil you." She sends back a row of hearts anyway. Lanchen comes back with a big bag of stuff while Wei Wuxian is still sleepily texting, and Wei Wuxian feels a twinge of guilt for caving and giving her the list of stuff she's been missing. It's not like she's moving in, she's just rushing here because they drunkenly hooked up last weekend and haven't talked about it yet. In a day or two, Wei Wuxian will just have to bring all the stuff back with her. She opens her mouth to maybe say that, but what comes out is, "Oh, thank fuck, clean underwear." Lanchen's eyes crinkle up around the corners, and Wei Wuxian thinks very distinctly, "I do not deserve her." It takes her breath away more thoroughly than her periodic coughing fits ever do. Wei Wuxian excuses herself to go take a shower, and when she gets out, Lanchen is already in bed, reading something on her e-reader. For a long moment, Wei Wuxian just stands in the doorway, taking the image in. Lanchen is so perfect. Her future wife is going to be so lucky. Wei Wuxian is definitely going to have this perfect stolen wig burn into her memory forever, but she won't lord it over whoever Lanchen ends up with. Not too much. Probably.
"You're shivering,"
Lanchen says, lowering her e-reader and holding up the edge of the duvet.
"Come in."
"I'm all gross, I'll keep you up,"
Wei Wuxian protests. It seems like if she wants this thing to last, she should at least try to be sexy. Her breathing has started to do a cool thing where it rattles in her chest if she takes a deep enough breath. She doesn't know if it means she's getting better or worse, but it's certainly not sexy. Lanchen's eyebrows grow severe without moving, and she lifts the edge of the duvet higher.
"Come in,"
she repeats, and her tone doesn't brook any argument. Wei Wuxian climbs into bed. Lanchen arranges a small mountain of pillows before letting Wei Wuxian lie down, and then she tucks the duvet up around her chin. Wei Wuxian has never been this spoiled in her life. The typo in Yanli's text burns behind her eyelids when she closes her eyes and she thinks, "This is nice. This is so nice.
You take such good care of me, Lanchen."
She yawns and then coughs a little, messing up Lanchen's perfect arrangement of bedding as she unnerves her arm to hack into her elbow. When she opens her eyes again, Lanchen is looking at her with an expression that is so, so soft. Something inside Wei Wuxian's chest cracks a little bit, a foundation destabilized, and she panics.
"Lanchen, how much care would you take of me?"
She bats her eyelashes.
"Would you get me off so I can sleep better? I'd do it myself, but I have..."
A forlorn sigh.
"No energy right now, so..."
"Weeing,"
Lanchen says, painfully tender.
Her voice makes Wei Wuxian's heart clench.
Do you want my hand or a vibrator?
It would be so interesting to see what vibrators Lancheng can offer, but Wei Wuxian says,
your mouth? Just to be contrary. Because if she has to risk seeing Lancheng's face do that thing one more time, she may die on the spot.
All right,
Lancheng says, and disappears under the covers. Wei Wuxian sleeps very well that night.
Morning brings several realizations with it. One,
Lancheng is not here. Wei Wuxian is all alone in her big bed, and as soon as she realizes that, it feels like she's intruding. Two, Wei Wuxian is feeling much better.
Which isn't to say that the urgent care guy was right about taking time off from work.
Obviously, if she's already on the upswing, she would have been able to work through this just fine. Three, she has been taking horrible advantage of Lancheng. Now that her mind isn't clouded by repeated orgasms or fever or exhaustion, she can see it clearly. Lancheng thinks she's in love with Wei Wuxian. It's on Wei Wuxian to draw boundaries and keep herself in line. But she's done the exact opposite. She's trampled all over Lancheng and gotten away with it. And Lancheng isn't even getting good sex out of it anymore. Last night, she had fallen asleep with Lancheng's mouth still on her, lazily lapping at her inner labia. And of course, Lancheng hadn't woken Wei Wuxian up when it was her turn. She drags her hands down her face and makes herself get out of Lancheng's huge, fluffy bed. For someone who walks around every day with a short butch haircut and square butch clothes and a face that could cut glass, Lancheng keeps a shockingly soft house. Everything is all warm creams and gauzy blues. She owns more kinds of linens than Wei Wuxian knew existed. The thing that had cracked in Wei Wuxian's chest shifts a bit, grating, and Wei Wuxian swallows against the knot in her throat and makes herself start picking up her things. The dirty clothes and electronics and toiletries have spilled all across Lancheng's room, across her whole apartment, and she just let them. Wei Wuxian finds the oversized tote bag from last night and starts methodically shoving things in it. She changes into a clean t-shirt and jeans and almost stuffs her pajamas into the bag before realizing they're Lancheng's. She finds a clothes hamper in the closet and puts them there instead. The living room is a little less saturated with Wei Wuxian's stuff, and the kitchen barely has any. Wei Wuxian is just going through Lancheng's coat closet, trying to find her jacket and scarf when the door opens and Lancheng walks in, carrying a waxy paper bag that smells like the inside of a bakery.
Wei Ying, she asks.
Wei Wuxian forces her face to smile.
Lancheng! I woke up and I'm feeling so much better today, you have no idea. So I decided it's high time I get out of your hair. You must be dying to have the place to yourself again, right?
I brought bagels,
Lancheng says, a little crease forming between her brows. Wei Wuxian wants to rub her nose on it. It's terrible. She finally uncovers her jacket, hung up neatly on a hanger between Lancheng's nice peacoat and a puffy parka she's never seen her wear. When she reaches for it, Lancheng catches her wrist.
Stay for breakfast, at least.
Wei Wuxian looks at the bag of bagels. They smell so good. They must have been fresh out of the oven when Lancheng bought them. It would be so easy to go back to the kitchen, sit down with Lancheng, eat breakfast together like some kind of old married couple. But then Wei Wuxian would be all warm and full, and she'd probably get sleepy, and it would be 10,000 times harder to leave than it already is.
I should really go,
she says, tugging until Lancheng lets her pull her coat off the hanger. She shrugs it on. Lancheng looks at her without moving for a long moment, then casts her gaze down.
All right. If you want some space, of course you should go. I've been keeping you cooped up here all week.
This is so far from what's actually happened that Wei Wuxian feels her mouth gape open in surprise. She laughs weakly, trying to cover her lapse. She's doing boundaries. She's given Lan Chen space, since she would evidently never ask for it.
I don't want space!
Wei Wuxian's big mouth, who has never heard of a boundary in its life, spits out without her permission. You need space! You love to be alone, and I've been crashing here this whole time, and you'd never kick me out on your own! Lan Chen steps closer to Wei Wuxian, who takes an instinctive step back. It leaves her partially inside the coat closet, coat sleeves brushing against her back and shoulders.
You're right,
Lan Chen says. Her eyes look very dangerous, very hard.
I never would, because I want you here. If you actually want to leave, go, but don't do it for my sake.
Wei Wuxian tries to say something, but what comes out instead is a tiny squeak. She lets herself sink backwards into the coats a little more. Maybe she could just lean back and let them absorb her completely like that gif of Homer Simpson in the hedge. The coats would protect her from how terrifying Lan Chen is being right now.
Do you want to leave?
Lan Chen asks, and now her voice is steely too. Wei Wuxian's chest feels like it's held together with strips of paper and that washable glue they give to preschoolers that doesn't actually stick to anything.
Do you?
Lan Chen asks again, looking a bit concerned now. Fuck! And suddenly Wei Wuxian can't hold it together anymore. No! I want to stay here and never leave! She's breathing hard, but for once, it doesn't set her off in a coughing fit. I love it here, but I can't stay because I don't... She does love Lan Chen, but not the way Lan Chen loves her. Wei Wuxian loves everyone and no one. She loves Jiang Cheng and Xu Xiong. She loves Su Trey and Wen Qing and Wen Ning and most of the rest of her co-workers. She even loves the old auntie she lives with, even when sharing the space is infuriating. But she doesn't know how to be in love. That must be something bigger, something Lan Chen knows how to do, but Wei Wuxian doesn't. Lan Chen tilts her head.
You don't?
There are tears building in a band of hot pressure behind Wei Wuxian's eyes. She bites her lip hard. If Lan Chen makes her say it, she'll... Then Lan Chen leans in and kisses her instead, fists tight in the coat sleeves on either side of Wei Wuxian's arms. It's a hot kiss, hard, demanding, and Wei Wuxian can't give herself over to it and hold back her tears at the same time, so she cries as Lan Chen kisses her, big fat tears that wet both of their faces.
Wei,
Lan Chen says when she breaks the kiss at last. Her thumbs rubs Wei Wuxian's cheek under her eye, not really doing anything about the tears because there are too many of them to wipe away.
Wei, I love you. More than anything, please stay.
It's soft, breathless, and Lan Chen stops talking and just looks at Wei Wuxian instead, like somehow it was a complete statement and not the first part of something else. But, Wei Wuxian prompts.
But nothing.
Lan Chen leans in as if she's going to kiss Wei Wuxian again, and Wei Wuxian slumps down to the floor of the closet, safely under the coats, and hugs her knees to her chest. Lan Chen, noted horrible person, crouches down in front of her. She doesn't try to touch Wei Wuxian, which is a relief, and also very bad. What if the last time Lan Chen ever touches her was while she was ugly crying? Predictably, this sets her off sobbing again, which then sets her off coughing. Lan Chen fishes a handkerchief out of her pocket and hands it to Wei Wuxian.
Is it really so terrible?
Lan Chen asks. Wei Wuxian nods, something inside her pulling apart like wet paper.
You should have someone who loves you back.
Wuxian says, through her snot and phlegm. There, she said it. Now Lenchen will let her leave and never try to kiss her again. It's so awful. There's a long silence in which Lenchen is presumably figuring out how to take back all her previous declarations gracefully. But then,
I don't want anyone else,
Lenchen says. She shifts from her crouch to sit with her legs crossed, her feet nudging into Wei Wuxian's.
I only want Wei Ying.
She falls quiet and just lets Wei Wuxian sit with that for a while, which is terrible. To be wanted by Lenchen, who could have anyone. To think that Lenchen wants her, someone who gets sick and leaves her things around and is extremely selfish in bed if given the slightest excuse, who doesn't know how to be in love and if she wanted to, which she does. But Lenchen had sounded so sure. She must know something that Wei Wuxian doesn't. But I don't know if... Wei Wuxian starts, even though it's painful to keep forcing this out into the light over and over. She has to make sure Lenchen understands. Lenchen waves a hand.
Put that aside for a moment. Put aside whatever you think I might want. Do you want to stay here?
Wei Wuxian nods, shame crawling up the back of her neck. Even if she shouldn't, she does so much.
Good. I want you to stay too,
Lenchen says, in a tone that means it's settled.
Do you want to have sex with me?
Wei Wuxian sniffles. What, like now?
In general.
Yeah. Wei Wuxian buries her face in her knees. This is humiliating.
Do you want to date other people? Are you going to leave me without saying anything if you meet someone more fun?
No, of course not. Wei Wuxian tells her niece. She scoffs a little at the idea. As if there would be anyone more fun than you. Does this mean they're dating? We're dating? It would have been nice if Wei Wuxian had even known they were dating before she went and fucked everything up so comprehensively.
Would you take care of me if I got sick?
This is so unexpected that Wei Wuxian jerks up to look at her. Lenchen's eyes are big and sad, like maybe she's going to cry too. Completely unbearable. Lenchen isn't allowed to cry, but Wei Wuxian doesn't know. For all the time she and Lenchen have been co-workers and then friends, Lenchen has never cried. Wei Wuxian doesn't know how to make her not cry. She doesn't know anything at all. Lenchen makes a little questioning noise, and Wei Wuxian nods.
Of course I would. That's a stupid question. If no one else beat me to it, anyway. Your sister probably makes better soup than I do. Or Sutre. She loves you.
I only want you,
says Lenchen, as if it's that simple. Wei Wuxian stares at her big, sad eyes, her big, square shoulders. She coughs wetly. All this crying is definitely not good for her bronchitis.
So what, you don't care that it's not even?
That small, wordless questioning sound again. Wei Wuxian sighs.
It doesn't seem fair that you're...
She waves her hand in a way she hopes gets the point across because she can't say it. She can't. And I'm not...
There's plenty of time,
Lenchen says, which is not an answer, and then with a small smile.
If you're with me, I'll be very happy. Happier than I ever thought I could be.
Which is also not an answer. This is absolutely... If looking at Lenchen was unbearable before, it's 100 million times worse right in this moment. If Wei Wuxian focuses on that smile next to those warm golden eyes for even a fraction of a second, she's going to start crying again. And Lenchen said it was important to stay hydrated, so more crying isn't an option. Wei Wuxian stands up, wipes her face on her sleeves, and says,
Well, I'm starving. Why don't we eat those bagels?
They don't really talk about anything important while they eat. Melanchthon seems content with whatever the outcome of their coat closet discussion was, so Wei Wuxian just kind of lets herself exist within the surreality of the moment and eats her breakfast. Things seem a lot less catastrophic once Wei Wuxian is full of carbs and tea, nestled up on the couch with her feet in Lenten's lap, and for a while they both just idly read on their phones and pretend that everything is resolved. It still seems too good to be true, though, and Wei Wuxian has never been able to leave a good thing alone, so she dives back in. "What if I ask for too much?" she asks. "How will I know what that even is, if you're always saying yes?"
"I will say no if it's too much,"
Lenchen promises.
That sounds suspiciously like Lenchen is just telling Wei Wuxian what she wants to hear. "What if I never wanted to leave? Would you kick me out when I got annoying?"
She raises a challenging eyebrow at Lenchen, who would almost certainly not kick her out under any circumstances. God, their breakup would be so ugly. Wei Wuxian can't picture it at all, because Lenchen is so astonishingly bad at telling her no, no matter what she thinks. Fuck, she'd probably snap one day out of the blue and pull a gone girl on Wei Wuxian, and it would be Wei Wuxian's own fault ultimately because...
"Do you want to move in?"
Lenchen says, breaking into Wei Wuxian's spiraling thoughts.
"I can call the property management company on Monday and have them alter the lease. It would be very simple."
Wei Wuxian squeaks.
"Lenchen, it was a hypothetical situation. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Look at you."
Lenchen does the opposite and looks at Wei Wuxian instead.
"Mine was not. What if I say it like this? I would like you to move in if you want. You can take your time deciding."
Wei Wuxian buries her face in her hands and screams very quietly.
"Okay," she says when she's done. "Okay, thank you for that. Enough hypothetical questions." She takes a deep breath. "Are we dating?"
"Yes,"
Lenchen says immediately. Something unclenches in Wei Wuxian's belly. Good. Good. She throws her head back on her tall pile of pillows and screams again, just a tiny bit. When she gets a hold of herself, she sees that Lenchen is looking at her and just silently beaming, like there are literal, actual golden rays of happiness beaming out of her face. Wei Wuxian finds that she's smiling too and can't stop. "Okay," she says, helpless.
"I?"
Lenchen says, and Wei Wuxian gets a terrible premonition and sits up fast, pressing her hand over Lenchen's mouth. Moving so fast gives her a bit of a headache, but she ignores it. "Were you going to say you love me?" Lenchen pries Wei Wuxian's hand off her mouth and holds it in both of hers, like some kind of terrible in love person.
"If we are dating, I am allowed to say I love you."
Wei Wuxian wails.
"That's an awful rule. Who made up that rule?"
"I did,"
Lenchen says. She kisses the back of Wei Wuxian's knuckles. If they used Lenchen's fancy forehead swipe thermometer on her face right now, she's sure it would read 1,000,000 degrees.
"Do you want to stop dating me?"
Lenchen asks. Wei Wuxian shakes her head.
"No, obviously not. I just learned we were even together 5 seconds ago. Why would I break up with you?"
"Then I get to tell you I love you,"
Lenchen says, terribly smug. Wei Wuxian groans. Is this her life now? It's so sad that she'll die an early death of humiliation, and there's absolutely nothing she can do about it. Lenchen kisses her hand again.
"Wayne is so special to me."
This is purposeful torture. Wei Wuxian feels like she's going to explode. "I will die if you don't make out with me right now," she proclaims.
"Well, we can't have that,"
Lenchen says, and lowers Wei Wuxian back into her nest of pillows, kissing her knuckles and her neck and the underside of her jaw,
murmuring little I love yous into Wei Wuxian's skin with each kiss.
I,
she says, and her heart and her gut and all the weird glued together pieces inside her chest seize up, clamoring to get through the bottleneck of that caught off word.
What?
Lantern says softly, looking down into Wei Wuxian's face.
I'm really happy to,
she says, biting her lip around a smile that feels so big, so stupid, she can't hold it back.
I'm really glad we're dating.
The words feel so insignificant, like she should have been able to offer more, but she can't. She just can't fake it with Lantern. Not when Lantern is in fucking love with her. But from the way Lantern goes back at her, the way that soft smile lights up all the roiling things inside Wei Wuxian's chest until she's glowing back, it doesn't feel like it's insignificant to Lantern.
Me too, Wei Ying.
She kisses Wei Wuxian's forehead.
Me too.
The end. Thanks for listening.